restful time, and it's good to have you back with us. And we just pray that God will bless you through this service today. Let's have a seat.
Let's open our worship and prayer this morning. Our dear Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence. Lord, we're so thankful to come here today to worship you. You are so worthy. And Father, we ask that you would let us worship in truth today, that we would lay our sins at the foot of the cross, Father, that you would forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of the things we did this week, Father, that were displeasing to you. Stand us upright, Father, and help us to worship you. And Father, may everything we say and do and in this worship service today bring glory to you. Father, we just thank you so much for the blessings you've given us. You've given us so much more than we could ever deserve, and we just thank you for it. We thank you so much for life and health, for your grace and your mercy. But we thank you most of all for Jesus Christ, for his sacrifice. And Father, we thank you for that promise that we will spend eternity with you in heaven. We thank you for the scriptures that we've read today, Father, that bring that home, that we will get to see your face, and we get to worship you forever and ever. Father, may we bring glory to your name this morning as we worship. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You know, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. I don't know if you caught those words, but he is so faithful. He is so good. And let's hear a big amen if you're glad you're redeemed this morning. Amen. Amen. And that's our first song, 544 in our hymn book, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It. And that's what we're going to do right now as we sing this song, Proclaim the Love of the Lord. He is so good to us. He's taken care of us. He's brought us here. And whatever you brought with you this morning, you know your life better than anybody else. Nobody else really knows you except God. And you know what you brought with you and what you needed this morning. And I pray that you will leave here filled with what you need. And God is so good to bless. And in so blessing you, we bless him. So let's stand together as we sing 544, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It, first and last verses.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Thank you.
start of 426. And this is Brother Jimmy's favorite song, all-time favorite. There's nothing better than victory in Jesus. And that's what we have today. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. He has given us the victory already. We're not fighting a losing battle. Amen?
Amen.
So let's sing it like we are the victors. We have already won this fight. So here we go. First, let's do all three verses. I said first and last, but let's do all three. Victory in Jesus. Sing it to the Lord like you need it.
I heard an old, old story. How a Savior came from glory. How He gave His life.
Much says it all, doesn't it? Victory in Jesus. Today, if you'll notice your bulletin, is Benevolent Sunday, and all undesignated money that's put into the offering plate will go to that. Let's bow together in prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this day that you've given us, Father. Just, Father, so many things we have to be thankful for, Father. Just our health, dear Lord, just to live in a nation that's free. Father, we thank you for our jobs and just being able to take care of our family and give back portions, just which you so richly deserve, Father. Dear Father, as we take up this offering now, Father, just make it pleasing to you. Just use it. Just spread it to your will. In your name we ask. Amen.
We are standing.
beyond all measure. And at His feet, peace of mind can still be found. If you have the need, I know He has the answer. Reach out and claim it. Child, you're standing on holy ground.
It is good to be here today. It's good to see several that have returned from vacation. We praise the Lord that He brought you back safely, and pray for others that are still traveling on the road that God would bring them back. And we do thank Him for all of His many blessings, how good He is to us, how great His grace is. And I hope we're learning more and more just to thank Him for all the many daily blessings that God sends our way. If you have your prayer list on the back of our bulletin, we have our prayer concerns. Now, there's a few names I'd like to ask you to add to that. We want to remember David Turbeville's mother, Velma Turbeville, in prayer. And she's in the hospital in Montgomery, Alabama. And then also Molly McCracken, who is a student at Oak Hill Elementary School. And she's going to be facing some brain surgery on August the 8th. And so if you would, write her name down and hold her up to the Lord, especially in prayer. Molly McCracken, and that's brain surgery on August the 8th. Then also Emmy Kincaid went to the hospital yesterday, and we want to lift up Emmy today and remember her in special prayer. And then also Anita Lund's brother-in-law, Ricky Finney. Ricky Finney, if you would, add him to your prayer list and lift him and his family to the Lord and ask for special touch of healing there for that family. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. How many today have a special need on your heart or a special burden? Okay, quite a few. Let's lift these up to the Lord. If you haven't taken time today to let the Lord know that you love Him, we're going to have just a moment of silent prayer, and you express that today. Tell the Lord, say, Lord, I love You. I'm here to worship You. Speak to my heart. Lord, You know exactly what I need. Help me today. Let's bow together in prayer. Oh, Father, we thank You for Your grace. How rich and wonderful, wide and deep Your grace is. And Your mercy, Lord, that You met us with afresh today as we woke up to Your loving kindness. And Father, we just pray today, Lord, that as we look at the truth of Your love, that You see a group of people right here that love You. And the Lord, that we're not ashamed to express our love. And Lord, that even today would be a new day, Lord, where we just allow ourselves to be deep in Your love. Literally allow it to overflow our lives so that it flows over to others. Lord, may those who are sitting around us in the same pew feel the very presence of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, I just pray that lives would be changed. That as we hear Your word, Lord, that You would speak, and Lord, that men and women would respond to You. And Father, that we would bring glory to Your name. We thank You for all that You're going to do. Lord, we pray for these many requests. We especially want to lift up young Molly McCracken and ask, Lord, that You would move in great grace on her behalf. And her mother, Lisa, that works there at Oak Hill, Father, we pray that You would give that whole family, Father, just added grace and mercy. Cover them with Your strength. And Father, we just pray for this upcoming surgery that everything will go well. And Lord, that You will just work in an amazing way on her behalf. And Father, we thank You for prayers that have been answered, for things that You're doing. Lord, for those that are here today, because there's been men and women praying for them to come. And Father, we rejoice in that. We thank You for hearing and answering our prayers. And Father, we ask that You would continue to work. Now, Lord, we lift up Ricky Finney. It has cancer. Father, we just pray that You would just touch and move and bring healing. And Lord, that You would work graciously on his behalf. Emmy Kincaid, Father, as she has been struggling so long, Father, we just ask for added grace. We just ask that You would touch her afresh today. And may her and Cecil both, Lord, know that El Bethel today has lifted them up in prayer. And Lord, that You're going to work in a great and mighty way on their behalf. And Father, we pray also for our snow cone ministry. Lord, we ask that You'd bless that. Lord, for Velma Turbyville there in Montgomery, Alabama, we just pray that, Lord, Your hand would be upon her. And Father, for David as he's there, Lord, we just pray for David Turbyville. Lord, watch over him, give him added grace and strength, and just bless. And Father, again, we thank You for Your hand at work. And Lord, again, You know the many needs that were expressed by uplifted hands. Father, You know what we're facing and what we're going to face in this week. And Father, I pray that You would do today in us what we need, so that as we go through this week, we would bring glory to Your name. And Father, we thank You for all that You're going to do. Bind the enemy from this place. Lord, loose Your Spirit to work in every heart. And Father, we praise You. We ask this in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We do thank the Lord for all the many good things that He's doing. And again, hope that you will take note of these many prayer objects and continue to remember them in prayer. Our Snow Cone Ministry is meeting this Tuesday night. If you'd like to participate in that, we're going to meet here at the church at 6 o'clock, and we'd love for you to come and go out with the team. Be going to the Hillcrest area if you'd like to just meet over there, if it's easier to meet there. But pray for that and look forward to what God's going to do. And if you need more, have any questions about it, just see Myra Linhart and she'll be glad to let you know more about it. But also we have our drama coming up, our Last Chance drama, August the 10th, 11th, and 12th. And we've moved up. We've got about 30 people signed up and all to help. And we need at least 11 more. So I'm looking around. I see more than 11 people that have not signed up. So I hope that you will take time after the service today to walk back here to the sign-up list and put your name there if you're able to help. We also need those that could help with the nursery. We'll have a nursery Sunday night and Monday night and Tuesday night. And if you could help with that, that would be good also. So let us know and be praying about that and look forward to what God's going to do. But we do, we need you to help in this. And so we're looking forward to what God's going to do in and through us as a church through this drama. Let's open our Bibles today, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and I'm going to begin reading at verse number 35 and following. Romans chapter 8, verse number 35. And I want to ask you, if you will, to stand in reverence to God's Word as we read. Romans chapter 8, verse 35, the Bible says this: Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, or hardship, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Let's bow together in prayer. Oh, Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for how it instructs us, how it leads us, helps us, feeds us. And, Father, we come today hungry. We come today, Lord, confessing the fact that we need You. Lord, we need Your help. Father, we need You to be the one to stir in us and open our eyes spiritually and open our hearts spiritually. And Father, to draw us right into Your presence. Lord, I pray that through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit that we would be baptized in Your love today. And Lord, that it would affect us, it would change us. It would change our outlook on things. It would change the way we act and interact in our families. Lord, it would change the way we go through this community. And Lord, that we would just be overflowing with Your love. And we couldn't help but tell people that Jesus loves them. That there's hope. That their lives can be changed. There can be a fresh start, a new start, even today. Father, I pray, Lord, that You would speak to hearts. And there would be those right now that say, oh God, I need that. I need a new start in my life. And Father, I thank You that You're in the business of giving second and third and fourth and even a hundredth chances. And Father, I pray, Lord, that Your Spirit would move and work among us. Lord, help us to do what we need to do today to bring glory to Your name. And we praise You for all that You're doing, for we ask this in Jesus' wonderful name, amen. We've been looking in Romans chapter 8, looking at these great questions that he asks because of God's great work of salvation. He stops and he looks and says, you know, that God foreknew us and predestinated us and called us and justified us and glorified us. And he says, really, what can somebody say to all this? I mean, if you stop and think about God's work of salvation and how great it is on our behalf, what can anyone say about this? And then he starts asking those questions. In verse 31, he says, well, I mean, think about it. If God be for us, who can be against us? Man, as a Christian, you ought to say that verse every day. That's a good verse to bring. Just memorize it. Bring it before the Lord. Boy, today, God, I want to start the day realizing that You are for me. And if You are for me, who can be against me? But notice also he brings up the question to think about in verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Now, the reasoning is this. If God so loved us that He gave His Son to die for us, to pay for our sins, to be buried, to be resurrected, to ascend into heaven, and to intercede for us. If God did all that in giving His Son for us, how can you think that He would withhold anything good from you? He's not going to withhold anything good for you that you deserve, that you need. He loves you. Get that deep in your heart. God loves you. He loves you. But notice he asks another question in verse 33. Who can lay any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. I mean, if God declared you just and has declared you righteous in His sight, who can bring a charge against you? I mean, God is the one who justifies. And then in verse 34, he asks this great question. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died more than that, who was raised to life and is at the right hand of God, also interceding for us. Well, what a glorious truth. I mean, who can lay a charge against God's elect? Who can condemn? Jesus is the only one who can condemn, and He is the one who has saved us. So as a believer, he says, listen, I want you to get it deep in your mind and in your soul how greatly God has moved to work on your behalf. Now, horror of horrors would be to think that it would be possible somehow to come into this relationship with God and experience this great love, but somehow now to be separated from God. Boy, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it? To be pulled out and separated from His love. The word separation is a word that our society knows too well. This word, in fact, this same word is used in Matthew 19:6, where he talks about marriage. And he talks about how that when God unites a couple, He united them in such a way that they're not supposed to be separated. They're not supposed to be pulled apart. And so here he comes and he uses this word separation. And you know, separation, even the when you think about it, what it means is to be pulled away from another's love. To be denied love. Now he comes to us as believers to ask this question. Is there anything that could deny you the love of God? I mean, once you've entered into this relationship and you've been called and you've been justified and God has accomplished this great work, is there anything that can separate you from the love of God? Now, I'm glad to see some already shaking their heads no. You read it, didn't you? I want you to think of it with me. First of all, let's think about the enemy of love. Do you see how he started that verse 35? Not what, but who. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And that word who refers to our enemy. Believers, you have an enemy. And his name is Satan, the devil. We have an enemy. He is a literal enemy. Enemy that walks this world seeking whom he may devour. In fact, in John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, that's a good verse to know because, listen, that lays out the enemy's strategy for my life, your life, my family, your family, for what he wants to do in this church. He seeks to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is the thief, the devil's work among us. He also tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, who the devil has blinded their eyes. Because if they were to see this glorious gospel, they would run the aisle to receive Jesus. I mean, if you see it, If it breaks in on your heart and you see that you're lost and you see that Jesus died to save you and that if you'll respond in faith and say, Jesus, save me, He'll save you. Oh, listen, who wouldn't come and do that if you see it? But believe me, the whole time we're here in this service, even now, the devil is working to cover people's ears and eyes, to keep them from hearing the truth and from seeing the truth. Listen, we may know the fact. In fact, there may be some here today. You know that God loves you. You know that God loves the world. And you know that He loves you. But I want to ask you, is it head knowledge or is it heart knowledge? You see, some people are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. And that's the distance from up here to down here. You see, it's easy. We come to church, we sing the songs, we hear verses, we hear truth, and we're exposed to it and we even agree with it. Mentally, we've accepted it. But I want to ask you, have you pulled it down into your heart? Where you've said, Jesus, come in and be Lord of my life. You be the boss. You take up not only residence, but you be present in my life and rule and direct my life. Have you experienced the love of God? You see, I grew up knowing about the love of God. I never can remember a time when I didn't know that God loved me. But when I was 13, I came to the place where I experienced the love of God. I saw that I was lost. I prayed and I said, Jesus, come in and be Lord of my life. And the Spirit of God came within me and the love of God. Listen, it overflowed my heart so that I loved everybody. I couldn't see anybody I didn't love. Why? Because the love of God was overflowing my life. Now, I want you to realize, while as long as you're in this body and on this earth, there's an enemy at work. And he never ceases. He doesn't take a day off. He has an organized system of evil that's at work and constantly at work in our lives. And he reveals to us here some of the things, some of the wiles of the devil are those fiery darts that come our way. What are they? He says, who shall separate you from the love of God? And then he names some of the things that the devil uses to try to separate us from God. First of all, notice there is the word trouble. Shall trouble? The King James uses the word tribulation. Tribulation. This word deals with the pressures of life. It comes from the Latin word which means the threshing sledge, which was a tool that was used on the threshing floor, that was a heavy wooden piece that at the end of it had these metal strips attached to it. And they would drag that thing across the grain, and the heaviness of it and the way the metal was pulled down upon it put pressure on the grain, and it separated the grain from the chaff. Now God says, listen, from time to time in your life, there's going to come trouble. You looking for trouble? You came to the right place. Hey, listen, the devil, he comes to church too. You better watch out. Be careful. Trouble. What is it? It's pressure. It's the world coming against us, and it puts those things on our hearts and our minds that weigh upon us, and we're trying to lay them before the Lord, but we bring them back and we feel the pressure mounting on us and the metal coming against us, and we're saying, oh God, we need some help. Or we should be saying that. Boy, that's what we need to do when we're in trouble, when we're facing tribulation. You may be here today in the midst of trouble and tribulation? What are some of those things? The loss of a child. Dealing with a rebellious child. The loss of a job. Financial trouble. Physical pressure. But listen, here's the question. Can any of those things separate you from the love of God? And the answer is no, they can't. No, they can't. Now, I want you to know it's very easy. In the midst of tribulation and trouble and pressure, if I'm not careful, to start looking at what's causing the trouble and get discouraged and feel like God's not there. But you know what? When you get a few days away and look back, boy, you realize the only thing that brought you through was the fact that God had His very hand under your life. Trouble. But notice, secondly, he says hardship. Can hardship separate you from the love of God? The King James uses the word here, distress. It comes from a compound word, one meaning space, the other meaning narrow. A narrow space. The trouble of narrow space. We could call it feeling boxed in. Feeling boxed in. Have you been there? You feel trapped almost. You feel confined. A man in a job where he feels like he can't change. There's nowhere to go. I can't see any promotion coming, but I can't see any help coming, and I feel like I need to stay here. My family needs it, and I don't like this job, but I'm boxed in this job. Or it could be a mother staying home with three young children, and she sees the diapers piling up one day and says, "Man, I feel trapped. Can someone come and help me for a little while?" What is it? It's that narrow space, that boxed-in feeling. Or it could be the mother who has to work and come home and pick up her children and come to the house and says, "You know, am I not getting any help?" Narrow spaced, boxed in. Distressed feeling. Listen, if you've been there, you need to go to the place when the devil gets you in that and you start looking at your situation and you feel squeezed. What should you do? Listen, that's the time to run to your prayer closet. That's the time to run to your prayer closet and just stop and say, "God, I just want to see you again. Lord, would you help me to think about all that you have done on my behalf? Would you let me think about your grace? Would you let me realize that I'm here in this box for a reason? I'm on mission in this box." You know what? If you come out of your prayer closet that way, it'll change the way you look at your whole situation. Boy, now you're able to help set others free from that boxed-in life through the Lord Jesus Christ. But then notice he goes to the next one, which is persecution. The Greek word means to pursue with intent to harm. Persecution. To pursue with intent to harm. Those who will live godly, the Bible says, shall suffer persecution. There are those who die for the Lord Jesus every day somewhere in this world. Someone dies because they love the Lord Jesus. Persecution. Standing up for the claims of Christ. And listen, the more we do that, the world will come against us. It may be being passed up in a job promotion. It may be someone in your family that makes fun of you or pursues you or throws little barbs or jokes your way because they want to give you a hard time. They're just waiting. They're hoping they're going to see you trip up so they can throw it in your face. Oh, I thought you were a Christian. Boy, it's amazing that we can have people like that be kin to us. But we do. And you know, it's something you've got to watch out for. Persecution is real. It's real. Be on your guard. Don't be alarmed. Don't let it take you and you say, why did this happen to me? It happened to you because you love Jesus. Get your focus back on Him. Then he talks about famine. And the team that went to Haiti knows all too well, and I'm sure saw many examples of famine. The devastation of famine, and to think that many parts of our world will go to bed hungry tonight. Not enough to eat. Famine. Nakedness. Poverty so severe that you're not even able to buy proper clothes. And we talked about this a little bit Wednesday night. We have enough clothes in our closets to clothe several families. And I'm not going to look at my daughter. I'm going to look over this way. We do. We're guilty. We are, you know, so blessed. Really, we've been so blessed in America that we have so much. And, you know, when we look, so from time to time, we ought to go into that closet and pray and say, God, should I get rid of some of this? Should I give this? Should I look for somebody that could use this? I mean, let's face it. If you can wear more than 7 outfits, you're really, you got a lot to do, a lot of places to go. But we look at our clothes. Who could we help when there's such great need? We ought to be praying about that. But also danger. The King James uses the word peril there for this one. It talks about persecution, beatings, imprisonments for standing for the Lord Jesus. The fact that there will be the sense of danger that we have to be aware of. And then finally, he talks about the sword, which is literally talking about death. Verse 36 is a quote from Psalm 44, verse 22. Notice it says, for your sake we face death all day long and considered as sheep to the slaughter. Paul was quoting back from the prophets. Here we are, Lord, we're willing and we face death every day. And Lord, we're willing to face death every day because we want to live for You. We want to bring glory to Your name. The sword. It's interesting in the book of 2 Corinthians. Turn there if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just a few pages over in the right of your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And notice verse 23 and following. Paul begins to talk about some of the things that he has experienced, and he says, are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have found and been cold naked. Besides everything else, I faced daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak, and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin, and I do not inwardly burn? Boy, Paul's coming here and says, man, I want you to realize I've faced all these things. I've been through this. I've been beat and then shipwrecked and stoned and left for dead. And yet, how does Paul look at his own life? So you say, man, I am a miserable failure. Is that what he says? I want you to look in Romans 8 again. Romans 8, verse 37. Notice what he says. No, in all these things, what things? Danger, persecution, famine, nakedness, the sword, death, tribulation, trials. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. More than conquerors. What a great testimony. What God has accomplished on our behalf. But notice, if you will, also the champion of love. We've seen the enemy of love. Look at the champion of love. Verse 36, notice it again. He talks about the love of Christ. The love of Christ. Let me back up to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The love of Christ. This love that God has shed abroad toward us. It translates from the Greek word agape, the love that moves out of the will to benefit the one loved. Listen, the gospel is all about love. That God so loved us that He gave His Son, His one and only Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is how God has moved toward us. The great love of Christ. Notice it in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 2, notice verse 5 and following. Verse 5 says, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Boy, the love of God. You know, we see that Jesus coming into this world. He could have been born son of a king. But instead, He was born a king. He could have been born son of the high priest. But instead, He was born the great high priest. I mean, we could stop and think of all the different ways Jesus could have come into this world, but He came into this world in great humility, born the son of a carpenter in a manger. Laid in a manger. What a humble beginning. The humility. Does He love us? Does Jesus love us? Yes. I want to show every time we pass a manger scene, we ought to stop and say, just stop and think, God loves me that much. Every time we look at the cross, we ought to stop and think, wow, God loves me that much. He loves me. The fact that God has moved in His heart to love us eternally, it is a drawing, saving love. Boy, God comes and He opens our eyes to our lostness, the fact that we need to be saved. He allows us to see Jesus, that yes, Jesus came and died for your sins and was buried on the third day, resurrected. And then He stirs in your heart this message saying, yes, if you will believe,
He'll save you. He'll save you. If you'll call on the Lord Jesus, He'll save you. Years ago, there was a missionary to Korea named Henry Vogel. And Henry was drafted by the Americans, and this is during our war with North Korea. He was drafted by America to serve as a chaplain to the POW camps. Tens of thousands of North Koreans were in these camps. And Henry wondered, you know, how can I minister to these people? How can I begin to let them know the heart of the message of the gospel? And he went into his first prison camp, into the first pen in that camp. And he sat those men down, and just their hearing his Korean voice calmed those prisoners. And he said, I want to teach you a song. And he began to sing this song. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. He did it in one pen. He went to the next pen, to the next pen. Then he went to the next prisoner of war camp. And you know, before the war had ended, thousands of Koreans gave their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the war was over and Korea, North Korea and South Korea were being divided along the 38th parallel, you know, many of those Koreans decided to stay in South Korea simply because they could worship the Lord Jesus. Listen, what a difference one person could make who's willing to look at the world and say, world, Jesus loves you. He loves you. He died for you. He was buried for you. He's resurrected for you. He'll save you and make you a new person. Listen, folks, that's the message all around us. People literally are dying to hear. And how long has it been since they've heard it from us? How long has it been since you went to a neighbor or a friend or a co-worker and just told them, said, you know, I've just got to tell you today, if I never say it again, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Well, what would happen in Oak Hill if this community was just filled with people that were greeting each other saying, Jesus loves you, brother. Jesus loves you. Listen, Jesus loves you. He can change your life because He loves you. Well, what would happen today right here if we would just come and come to this altar and say, Lord, I realize I need it afresh. I need You to pour in me Your love in a fresh way so that I can let it overflow out of my life. Wherever You lead me, that Your love can be seen. Maybe someone here today, you've been listening and boy, the Holy Spirit's been pricking your heart. There's been a knocking at the very door of your heart. Jesus is there, willing to save you. Listen, today, would you open that door and say, Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord. I want to make it public. I'm going to come down that altar and take that preacher by the hand and make it public that I've given my life to Jesus. Maybe God's leading you to be a part of this church. Boy, every time you're here, there's something saying, this is it. This is where you belong. Listen, why don't you come today? Maybe you just have a burden on your heart. Boy, God's brought to your mind a family that needs somebody to pray for them. Would you come today? Be that intercessor. Be that prayer warrior. And ask the Lord to work in that family. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, we thank You for Your grace. How wonderful it is. How great You have worked on our behalf. Lord, what a salvation You have given us. And Lord, we do pray again that if there's anyone here that as they've looked in their heart, they've listened to these songs today, they've listened to different prayers that have been prayed, and there's something inside of them saying, I need to be saved. I need Jesus. Or maybe they've been saved, but they've never been baptized. And Lord, they need to follow through with baptism. Lord, I pray they'd come. And Lord, I pray for many that just, Lord, need to bring their heart to the altar. And say, Father, I need You to refresh Your love in me. Through the Holy Spirit, fill me and overflow me that Your love will come out of me. And Father, we thank You for all that You're going to do. Bring glory to Your name now during this time of invitation. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Going to sing a hymn of invitation, Tracy? Hymn number 294. 294. Listen, if God's spoken to your heart, maybe you don't need a book today. Maybe you know you ought to be one of the first ones to come and just kneel here at the altar and pray. Or maybe you need to come and take me by the hand and say, Pastor Ron, I really need you to pray with me about this. Do you need to come? Let's stand together as we sing hymn 294. You come today. Ask every head to be bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Has God been speaking to your heart today? Maybe you're just visiting here today, and this is maybe even the first time you've been in this church. But boy, God has spoken to your heart, and you feel like you ought to come and just pray. Listen, you can come. We want you to be obedient. You need to come today. While our instruments are playing and people are praying, would you come?
appreciate the way you've listened today. I appreciate God's grace and goodness. I feel like He's been speaking to us, and I hope we've all responded to Him and have done exactly what He's wanted us to do, and that you can leave here being right with Him and just being ready to tell somebody today that Jesus loves them. And I hope you'll come back tonight. Our choir practice, 4:30, and evening worship service at 6 o'clock. We'd like to encourage you to come back tonight and look forward to having a good time with the Lord. Anyone have anything on your heart, feel like you ought to share or say before we dismiss in prayer? Amen. Amen. Praise His name. Amen. 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 Johnny Shell, praise the Lord for the good report he got. And continue to remember Hazel and Johnny in your prayers. Randy? Okay, that's this Saturday, August 2nd, 8 o'clock. Okay. Anyone else? If not, we'll bow our heads together in prayer. Thank the Lord for His grace and goodness to us, for answering prayer, and for meeting with us here today. Looking forward to what He's going to do as we come back tonight and give Him praise and thanksgiving for His great working. I'm going to ask Levi Powell. Levi, if you would, dismiss us in prayer.